Despite a challenging year, renewables are still hot. So a casual investor may look at this sector and see nothing but promise. For anyone who's actually invested in renewable energy or broader clean tech stocks, you know that shares have taken a beating in recent years, and that volatility is the name of the game. In order to assess that volatility, every once in a while we check in with Rob Wilder, CEO of Wilder Shares. He co-founded a couple major indexes, the ECO and the NEX, which track a diverse bundle of stocks in the clean tech sector. As you can imagine, 2008 was not a good year for the indexes. But this year, ECO, which tracks U.S.-based companies, was up 29%, and NEX, which tracks international companies, was up almost 40%.
I think focusing on NEX versus ECO, it was sort of an issue in part of NEX having a lot of wind and PBW or ECO having a lot of solar.
And that solar was tough. I mean, the sector was up overall in the ECO index, but individual companies did really poorly. A big change from the gains we saw in, you know, say 2007 when solar stocks were just through the roof.
Well, that's right. Each index tells a story. ECO, if you had stripped out solar, it wouldn't really be a clean energy index, then would it? You'd have to say, well, it's just frankly not a clean energy index. So, and plus you have to add the fact that solar can take off at any time. I mean, solar was volatile to the downside in 2009, and it was as well in 2008, but 2003 through 2007, it was enormously volatile to the upside. And just like active funds have a very tough time beating the indexes, it's hard for the active managers and anyone, any mortal person, anyone to predict when solar or any subsector will turn around. Mm.
So traditionally, a lot of these active managers are looking to beat the indexes, and you're saying that an index can perform just as well.
Well, it's a fun race, and you know, every year I think the actively managed mutual funds versus the passives compare to each other, and typically over the years it's been the passives out ahead. In 2009, if you look at thousands and thousands of mutual funds versus their index. Interestingly, the actives just beat out the passives. Now, you know, when you add in things like transparency and the tax efficiency in real life, well, passives actually, I think, do quite well. And usually they do win. But 2009 was interestingly in a large sense with the actives just ahead. But, you know, in our case, we have four different indexes, and I've looked at a chart with some, I don't know, two, three dozen active mutual funds and passive indexes. And, you know, our index progressive was at the very top at 64%, and transport just near the top at 50%.
The rise on the NEX and ECO indexes was a major reverse from last year. We saw some serious losses. I mean, I remember on NEX it was around 60%. I can't remember exactly what it was on ECO, but a big change this year a big change last year as opposed to 2008, I should say.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the numbers. It was enormous. And I value the opportunity to say, and I always emphasize every time I can when I speak in the media or in our quarterly reports, these indexes can and will drop like a rock. But certainly with an index, this sector, which is just capturing and tracking a sector, an index, this sector really drops. So ECO was down something like 70%. NEX, interestingly, was down less. Anytime you're down 65-70 type percentages, you're down enormously. And so, you know, for these indexes to be up 30 or 40% is nice, but one has to bear in mind that typically what investors do is they buy near a top, because they buy once a sector or an index or a fund has gone way up. They see that chart, they see that performance, and they buy in. There was a piece in the Wall Street Journal that looked at the best performing mutual fund of the last decade, and they found that when they looked at the actual inflows and outflows, people typically were losing money. So it was an enormously volatile fund, very much volatile to the upside, but people were often buying at the tops, and then they would sell when it would then decline, you know, some large percentage. So that probably is my message I try to convey more than any is, you know, it's when things look really bad that often the contrarian would step in and make the smart entry point.
Investors are always trying to chase the hottest sectors. And so when you think of these really hot, well-known sectors. You think of solar and wind and next-generation biofuels. But again, looking at the experience over the last year, it was really the less sexy technologies like energy efficiency, like power storage, that did better. What does that say about, you know, where we should be looking?
Well, I think you're exactly right. And sexy also is in the eye of the beholder. So I think maybe it's a case of what's maybe not so sexy now will become sexy. And often we see that in the rearview mirror. So after energy storage has a big run-up, then people begin to really talk about it. And if you look at the NEX, for example, let's see, we had 9 power storage stocks gaining about 120% in 2009. So strong sectors were energy efficiency, power or energy storage, 17 efficiency stocks gaining 48%. So solar, you had that subsector gain 30% in the NEX, but 5 were really bad performers in solar. In wind, we had 18 stocks that gained about 36%, but without the big losses. So you see that what story you're tracking, let's say solar versus energy efficiency, solar versus energy storage, really matters. And as you get more of these indexes that track not just the broader clean energy sector and global clean energy like ECO and NEX, but subsectors, they really begin to differentiate, let's say, a solar ETF or solar index in 09 versus a wind, which would have outperformed in 09.
What do you think the lessons are for 2009 for investors?
Well, the biggest lesson, I think, continues to be, and it's the one that's so against our human nature, we tend to buy the things that have gone up. And I think the story of 09 is you don't want to look back necessarily at what's done well, let's say 2003, 2007, because the things that were up 50 and 60% were not sexy stories, frankly, a year ago. And so the biggest lesson is one that continues to be the same lesson, I think, of contrarian thinking. It's something that Warren Buffett talks about, you know, endlessly, and I think correctly, because it is so against our nature. What's sexy in 2010 and 2011, 2012 is probably not going to be what was sexy to us at the end of 08.
Well, we've talked about the actively managed funds like mutual funds and then, of course, the passive indexes, which you manage. But I want to ask a question about individual stocks because a lot of people are approaching this space from that angle, and particularly the so-called penny stocks of these micro-capitalization companies. Companies with stocks that are worth, I don't know, 50 cents, 60 cents, 70 cents, or a couple of bucks. You know, what is the strategy for approaching these stocks that might offer very quick, high returns, but also are very high risk? Because I have a number of stocks that I'm looking at. I get emails from people who are interested in these type of stocks. And I wonder if you have any specific advice about that type of investing.
The single stock proposition definitely creates the most potential upside. We have a company in our Progressive Energy Index. It had dropped to 67 cents in March, around March 9th of 2009, and today it's trading around $20, $17, $20. So it's up, you know, we're talking about 35-fold, company's up 40-fold. That's a single company. Now, if you had the gumption to buy in at 70 cents after it had dropped precipitously, if you hit that inflection point, you could go with a tremendous gain. And that's typically the woulda, coulda, shoulda. I mean, people look at these charts and they say, boy, I could have bought that stock. I would have bought that. I should have bought that stock. And penny stocks, it's magnified. You don't have a stock at $30 going up 30-fold. So it's typically the stocks that are, and penny stock could be anything under, let's say, $10. But often you see stocks trading at 16 cents, 70 cents. And the upshot is extremely, extremely fun to talk to your friends at the country club about making the 30-fold return, but extremely, extremely, extremely hard to ever really, truly do it. And I think if you look at the real-world returns, which I always would emphasize, tend to not be so great with those out-of-the-ballpark kind of propositions, very speculative. So I would just tell people, you know, if there's money you're okay on losing, instead of going to Vegas, you know, you put it into this 16-cent stock, whatever, but you know, just it just seems to me, from my own worldview, that that should be a tiny portion of a person's portfolio.
Again, Rob Wilder is CEO of Wilder Shares. And we've got an index, too, to see how shares are doing on the REW40. Just go over to renewableenergyworld.com and click on the finance section.